Matt Zimmerman, who, of course, joins Chuck Barrett on the basketball broadcast and is the director of basketball operations for U of A Hoops. Coach Z, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. Doing okay, hanging in there, and good to always talk to you, buddy.
You got it. So you guys have a busy week. I mean, you're not making any of the Thanksgiving tournaments, but three games this week. Maybe the toughest test for the non-conference schedule Sunday against the Hoosiers. And now Montana State tomorrow, and then you got UT Arlington on Friday. UTA usually a good program. So this is kind of that week that hopefully the guys start getting their legs underneath them, right?
Well, I hope so. You know, we opened there with Texas on the road, which is always a little different to start on the road. And we came home and didn't play for – we came home, played with 3 days later against Cal Davis. And then we had about 5 or 6 days, which was great because I thought it was the best practices we'd had so far. Intensity was good. Guys were really competing against each other. And they weren't all perfect practices by any stretch, but they were pretty good practices. And then that helped us, I think, playing Indiana, like you mentioned. And then this is quick. Yesterday we didn't practice as hard. We went about an hour and a half yesterday. There was a lot of film involved yesterday. And then getting ready for Montana State, who our school's never played. A friend of mine's an assistant there. It'll be a team that plays a lot of zone and a really unorthodox matchup zone. It's kind of hard to kind of prepare for. And so we'll practice today and try to get ready for this zone Wednesday night. And then Friday night we play, I don't like to say mid-major, high-major, low-major, but, you know, a team that's really established themselves in the last 5 years is a very, very good mid-major program called University of Texas Arlington. We played them 2 years ago, and they were a handful, and we got them on Friday night. So, you know, you're always a little bit leery of your games without your students. Students will all be gone, and, you know, those students bring a good buzz of energy to our team, and they'll be gone. So we're just going to have to rely on you know, ourselves and the fans that are there to get us going and help us get these two wins, hopefully, this week here.
And let's go back to Sunday's win over Indiana, where Daniel Gafford was just a complete and utter beast. But it looked like, you know, there were moments that he had trouble with his legs underneath him, and I was kind of wondering why, because I know that you guys have them conditioning so hard during the preseason. I mean, even Daniel referenced it in the postgame interview with Chuck about all the Cleveland Hills is what he called it. But why did it look like he was so tired at some point? It didn't seem to affect his play, but at one point he's asking to come out, and you know Coach A's not going to pull him out at that point.
Right, yeah, we need him in there, especially this year with kind of some of the depth factors that we're having. But I just think he was gassed. He played very, very hard. When we're going good and we're pressing and getting after it in the half-court defense as well, we just feel like if, you know, that a player should be able to go 4 or 5 hard minutes without much stoppage, then after that they're probably going to need either a quick blow or a timeout or some successive free throw possessions in a row for them to kind of catch their breath. If they're giving us everything they got, if they're going all out, and he was doing that, and you know, I think all of our team plays pretty hard. But there were some other guys out there that weren't as tired. I'm not sure they were going as hard as him. He goes extremely hard. He's jumping out there contesting shots. You watch him run the floor, Phil. He flat out passes a lot of times guards running down the floor. He sprints maximum effort, and he's just a guy that gets tired. We've had players in the past that'll reach that fatigue mark quicker than some players will. You know, Darryl Macon could play hours without having to come out of a basketball game. Jalen Barford, when he was going really, really hard, he couldn't go as long. He couldn't go as hard, you know. And so, you know, Moses Kingsley was a guy that could play really hard, really didn't have to come out of the game, you know. But Daniel requires a little bit more rest. That's just something with his body and his insides, and it causes him to sometimes require a little bit more. And with the depth factors, we can't take him out as much, and he has to play. Like you said, there was no option to take him out the other day. He had to fight through it.
And this, to me, looks like the sort of thing that Mike and the coaching staff has been trying to get Daniel ready for. So I've watched practice a couple of times, and, you know, with his size and the fact that he's the top option offensively, and teams are going to want to be very physical with him, it looks like that's how the team is playing against Gafford in practice, too. And, I mean, every one of them, when you watch practice, they do these very quick bursts, 2 minutes, And then the next group comes in, but they're running the floor as hard as they will in the game, if not more so. But I did notice that they're pretty physical with Daniel in practice. Is that to get him ready for what you're expecting him to see during games?
For sure, because we don't, we're not the most physical team in the country. And that's something that coaches had to really harp on really since the summer, that we have got to get Daniel prepared. And we don't want to hurt him in practice. That's the last thing we want to do. But we got to get him prepared for double teams, and we got to get him prepared for guys going to be more physical with him. When people see us, college teams see us, when the NBA scouts come and look at Daniel, one thing they always talk about, obviously, is how athletic he is. He's a freak athlete, the way he can run, as hard as he plays, all those things. But they also, that most people will think that he's a guy that's got to be able to handle people being physical with him. Let's beat him up. Let's be physical with him. A friend of mine that we played last year in the non-conference and on an opposing team, he told me the next day, and we don't play him this year, he told me, he said, "Art," and they did a good job on Daniel. They said that our deal with him was put your legs into him, put your knees into him, grab him, hold him as much as you can, chuck him, hit him with your forearms as much as you can, just constantly hit him. Constantly be touching him and try to wear him down. And I think that's what people are going to do. And he's going to see, he didn't see a much, he didn't see a whole lot of double teams the other day against Indiana. They play more straight up, hard nosed, tough man to man. But everyone else we've been playing so far, like Texas, those guys were double teaming hard. His team tomorrow night's going to double team hard. And so he's got to continue to work on handling those double teams. Not everyone can do that. I mean, Daniel's got 15 turnovers in three games. That's five a game. So that number has to keep getting lower. He's got to be able to handle that efficiently.
Matt Zimmerman is our guest. He's the color analyst for the Razorback basketball team on the IMG Network. Matt, looking at KenPom, Arkansas has the fourth best home court advantage in college basketball. Do you think Bud Walton gets enough respect for being one of the best home field advantages in college basketball?
I sure don't, Ty. I never have. I think that it got the respect it deserved back in the 90s under Coach Richardson, and they were hardly ever losing. But Mike Anderson's teams have been very, very good at home over the last 7 years. The proof is in stats. You can look at it all. He's done a great job winning at home. He has lost a few home games, but most everyone does. But he's been very good at home. And I've never thought that Bud Walton in general it gets that respect. Maybe it was because, you know, there was those about 9 years that the home court advantage was not as strong as Bud Walton had been in the past. And during that stretch, there were some big wins here during that stretch, but there were also losses during that stretch. And maybe Bud Walton kind of lost its national reputation, and we've just had to work at it. Archie Miller said some great things about Bud Walton. Archie Miller's a darn good basketball coach, and we appreciated him coming here because he'd come here with Dayton. It wasn't like he didn't know anything about Bud Walton. He came here on a Saturday in the 14-15 season when we had a 27-win team. He brought a team in here on a Saturday afternoon and played us. He knew what Bud Walton could be like, and he brought his team back again, a different school, Indiana, and I thought that was nice that he did that. And I think it's a very, very tough place to play, and still coaches in our league, they still think it is one of the one, two, three toughest places in our conference for sure. And a lot of it has to do with coach and the style of play. And a lot of it has to do with our fans and the energy and all that. The Razorback fans had an impact on that game at the end. It was very, very, very loud. You know, I thought there were 17 or 18,000 people there. If you were here, this thing was a lot of people here. And then the attendance numbers were very surprising. But, I didn't know that about the fourth best home court advantage, but I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's a good stat on KenPom. It judges based on the past, coach, on like the past 50 or 60 games, like margin of victory and whatnot. So
wow. It
was I like saw it and I was like, that doesn't really surprise me at all.
Right.
I know one coach in the SEC is happy he doesn't have to come here this year, and that's John Calipari. You guys have to travel to Lexington. Do you think Arkansas should play Kentucky home and home every year?
I think that would be really good. We're not a proponent of, I can't speak for my head coach or my athletics director, but I've always been involved with scheduling for the last 17 years. 25 years in a row I've been involved with scheduling, but 17 at the D1 level. I'm not a fan of going to 20 or 22 SEC games. I think that's too. I think 18 is a good number. That's a lot. That's hard. 18 is a lot of conference games. Obviously, we would like to play Kentucky. You know, I'd like to see us play Kentucky and Florida. and those guys all home and home, you just mathematically can't do that and keep some of the stuff that we have. You know, right now we have three people we play twice every year. Just me personally, I think that's too many. We, you know, we play A&M, LSU, and Missouri twice every year, and then everyone else rotates. And I don't know why, you know, I would rather us get a chance to play more Georgia, Kentucky, some of them home and homes on a more annual basis. And, you know, if you play the same three teams home and home every year, that six of your 18 games are already marked down, you know, before the schedule ever comes out. And so, you know, and that's a lot. And nothing against A&M, LSU, Missouri. Those are darn good basketball programs. Those are hard games, very, very hard games. But, you know, sometimes it'd be nice to play a home and play two games against someone else as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. You kind of want to switch it around a little bit.
Switch it up a little bit. It's like they don't want my opinion in SEC football, but I don't think that it should be that you only play someone in the SEC East, you know, at their field or them coming to your field like once every 14 years or whatever the math is on that now. You know, I would love to see it to where, you know, if you play football at school for 4 years, in that 4 years you play every team and you see every stadium, if there's any way to do that. You know, and maybe that's something where you add another game for that. But for us, 18 games is a lot in the conference. We play 31 total. And so, you know, that's a pretty good number.
Z, you know, there was a great story in the paper about the connection of the Zimmerman family to both men's and women's basketball. And we're talking about Bailey Zimmerman on the women's end. And you and her father, who unfortunately passed away when Bailey was a freshman at Arkansas, were tight, practically like brothers. So my question to you, and I love Bailey. I love how she plays. She plays so hard, got a great personality, a great future moving forward. But in the article, she referred to you as being kind of annoying. This was actually printed. What's your reaction to publicly being called kind of annoying?
Yeah, that's family. That's a family member for you. How about that?
That's right.
Yeah, someone told me that, and so I was giving her a hard time, and she was like, oh, you are. She said, you are annoying. So I've tried to be less annoying, and to her, not since that article. Since the article's come out, I've tried to be more annoying. But, you know, I have tried to let her, you know, have a great college experience and have fun. And, I mean, I love our women's staff, and they're right here. I walk over there every day and see them and give them a hard time. And, you know, it gives me a break from my desk or from the normal stuff. I'll walk over there and see them, and I try not to ever wear our women's staff out about, hey, can you let Bailey do this or can Bailey do that? You know, I try not to be that guy, but I love the fact she's been here. She's in her fourth year, and I can't believe it. Ty, still, I can't believe it. You know, it seems like she should be a sophomore or a junior, but she's gone through a lot. You know, she's got her and there was four kids. All four of them won a state championship at the same high school I went to, Wonderview. And I'm very proud of that for those kids, her brother, John Paul, and her two sisters. They all won state championships, and just good people. Her mom, Dana Zimmerman, me and her went to school together all the way through. She was in my class. Paul Wayne was a little bit older, but I was very close with Paul Wayne, and it was really sad when he passed away. And Bailey's done just such a darn good job of kind of getting through that and hanging in there and still having an awesome college experience.
Coach, 10 seconds on this. Should Arkansas bring the Slobber Hog back?
Can we or did we?
Should we?
I definitely think so, but I don't want to get my boss mad at me. But we're slowly trying to get that back in there. We love it. We love that. And it is a mark of Razorback basketball. It is a tradition, and it was on the floor for many, 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 many great wins. And we would love to see it back there.
It's Matt Zimmerman. He'll be on the call with Chuck Barrett tomorrow when the Hogs take on Montana State, 7 o'clock. IMG pregame show here on ESPN Arkansas, 6:30. Z, always a pleasure. See you at the Bud soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.